For a moment, Anya feared one or the other group would simply massacre the surrendered men where they knelt. She had no objection to cutting them down in the heat of battle, but killing in cold blood went against her grain. As if noticing them for the first time, Wira stared past the crate, its yellow pine sides defiled with shocking bright spatters of blood, at the knights. The two groups, who had relaxed subconsciously at the fall of the Pirate King, went tense. They glared at each other from blacked-out faces, dog packs contesting an alley. The men had pulled their guns on each other so fast that Anya couldn't even tell which side had drawn first. The rival forces were aiming at each other with automatic weapons, separated by no more than a dozen feet of deck slick with blood.
I guess it's my turn.
Anya looked from one side of the hold to the other, straightened up, then strode forward from between the piled crates, right between the barrels of the two ready guns.
Gentlemen, I, Anya Creed, hereby claim this relic in the name of science and the global archaeological community.
Many faces turned to gape at Anya. Even the pirates swiveled their turbaned heads on scrawny necks to stare at this unexpected apparition. Unsurprisingly, Sharshak bore the single most shocked expression in the room.
Miss Creed?
Anya?
On Sharshak's far side, farther from Anya but no farther from the fray, a knight with broad shoulders and chest and a bit of a belly stood shaking his big square head. Behind his war paint and the black glop in his beard, he seemed to be smiling.
Well, I have agreed to such an arrangement.
Wira looked at the knights hard, seemingly unconcerned by the black barrels of submachine guns pointing at him, and frowned.
I am not sure, however, circumstances permitted to be carried out.
Well, if you boys are dead set on slaughtering each other to show who's got the biggest sword, then I suggest you take it up on deck, where you can die in the nice fresh air and not threaten any more damage to this priceless treasure.
May God forgive me for saying so, although I expect our unsated patron would heartily concur. Clearly, there's no point in contesting who has the biggest sword. There can be no doubt.
By Allah, you are right. It is most assuredly Anya Creed.
Now that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me, Wira. Sir Hevelin. Now, why don't we all remember our basic firearm safety and stop pointing those things at each other before someone gets hurt?
Almost shamefacedly, both sides slowly lowered their weapons. They didn't look at each other. They seemed embarrassed to.
But wait! Where will you take our holy relic to determine its just ownership?
The only sensible place is back to Mariapuri in Rimba Parak.
Don't see how we can possibly agree to that. How can you trust this man?
The Sultan has signed a contract to abide by my decision.
But we haven't. Anya, Miss Creed, we cannot permit you to hand our relic over to these unbelievers.
Cosmopolitan though he was, Wira looked pretty grim at being called an unbeliever. Anya could see tension winding the body language of both groups back up. The captive pirates, meanwhile, were turning into quivering masses. They knew if things headed south, they'd be caught in the crossfire.
Hold it! I set up this arrangement. I know for a fact you're all honorable men. Pirate scum accepted, of course. But I don't ask you to take my word for it. I'd stake my life on Sultan Wira holding to the letter and the spirit of his promises to me. In fact, that's exactly what I'll do. I'll guarantee this deal with my life.
That's a real touching offer. Too bad you're going to get taken up on it so quick, little lady.
St. Clair?
Anya looked wildly around. The U.S. agent, looking cool and positively dapper in his ice cream suit and Panama hat, slowly emerged from the shadows on the other end of the hold. Crowding out on the narrow gallery to either side of him were men in green turbans with cutlass-like swords thrust through their sashes. Similarly clad men were popping up behind the knights. All of them aimed Kalashnikovs at the two groups facing each other past the crate. The Sword of the Faith had arrived at the party. Apparently, as counter-terrorism specialist St. Clair's honored guests.
All right, this officially sucks.
St. Clair looked her way and gestured. Hard hands grabbed her arms from behind. The faces of knights and the Sultan's commandos were stiff as they stared at the weapons held on them. Perhaps 30 men of both sides remained functional inside the hold. At least 20 terrorists surrounded them. More than enough, given that they had the drop on their victims and a height advantage, so they could massacre them without crossfiring each other. St. Clair strolled around behind his men to approach Anya.
Miss Creed, I can't tell you how good it is to see you here. It's kind of like hitting a grand slam. We scoop up the relic, the Sultan, and you, all in one stroke. Very cool.
I thought you worked for the United States.
I do. It's policy. Maybe I'm goosing it along a little bit, but it's for the good old U.S. of A. I told you amateurs couldn't understand.
He reached out to stroke a finger under her chin. She turned her face aside, mostly to prevent herself from snapping at his hand.
What do you think you're doing? These are Muslim terrorists you're palling with.
You've noticed. You see, Miss Creed, the war on terror is losing steam back home. We need to get the terrorists a win here, one that won't hurt U.S. interests. Just a strong nudge to remind the softheads back home why we fight. No hard feelings, okay? Like I said, policy.
Policy.
We got some special techniques in store for you. You'll star in your very own torture video, showing the world what barbarians these ragheads are we're dealing with. You'll be queen of YouTube for at least a week. People will tear out their hair and scream for blood. So, my friends, what are you waiting for? Kill them all!
The two terrorists held Anya's arms down to her sides. But as St. Clair turned away and the other terrorists' guns thundered, she summoned her sword. She flicked it down against the leg of the man to her right. Anya snapped the blade horizontal and pivoted into the man on her left. The sword cut into the man's belly and side. Anya used both hands to wrench her blade free. St. Clair spun toward Anya, his hand inside his jacket. He was clearly going for a handgun in a shoulder holster. She flung herself toward him, cocking the sword to her right, and then lashing out at waist level with all her strength in a desperation swing. His face twisted in a sneer.
Missed!
Suddenly, his eyes flickered. Something made him look down. St. Clair's eyes flew wide in horror as he began to register the pain. His stomach had been slashed open. Anya's sudden explosion of motion had drawn everyone's attention. Even the terrorists who had just begun to massacre the knights and commandos stopped to gape at their leader's fate. At least 7 knights and commandos were down. The rest suddenly turned and went for the terrorists with attack dog fury. The Sultan's men and the Christian holy warriors had rushed in among the terrorists. They couldn't use their Kalashnikovs without cutting each other down. That wasn't stopping all of them. Some at the rear sprayed the scrum impartially. Anya ran right toward the nearest terrorist. He looked her way. The expression on his face was one of total astonishment as he felt a whistling slash. Anya glanced quickly left. Wira stood embattled with his back to the crate. He had picked up a second sword, as he had last night in his bedroom, this time one of his own men's. Around him lay a semicircle of fallen terrorists. For all the young Sultan's superb skill with twin weapons, he lacked eyes in the back of his head. A new attacker leapt up on the crate, racing forward with sword upraised to split the unwitting monarch's skull.
Wira, no!
A figure leapt up behind the man on the crate. Just as the terrorist swung his blade at the Sultan's unsuspecting head, the young knight Sharshak rammed his short sword through the terrorist's back. The man slumped forward, dragging down Sharshak's blade. Wira turned, looking up at him. His eyes widened in amazement. Then Sharshak thrust again, this time right toward the young Sultan. Sharshak's short sword went to the hilt in the belly of a terrorist who, seeing Wira distracted, had pressed the attack from the Sultan's right. 20 feet away, Anya saw a terrorist shoulder a Kalashnikov, its muzzle brake pointed at Sharshak and the Sultan. He was too far away for Anya to reach with a sword attack. She fell to a knee, grabbing at the nearest fallen rifle. Wira and Sharshak looked around. Sharshak saw the terrorist aiming the assault rifle at the Sultan. He leapt forward, knocking Wira sprawling with a broad, sweeping blow of the back of his sword hand. 3 bullets of a wild burst slammed into his chest. He fell. Anya caught the terrorist rifleman's head on top of the front sight post of her recovered rifle. The man's face crumpled beneath his turban, vanished in a spray of blood.